The following presentation was recorded at the 2010 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It's a blessing to be together in this way, looking forward to what the Lord has for us further today. I'd like to open this topic with three examples, three illustrations. And then we'll look further at several subpoints. Invite your attention to the example of Jacob and Esau. This story is taken from Genesis chapter 28. Jacob and Esau were not getting along real well. And the situation was so sharp between them that his mother, their mother, sent Jacob away. And with a little conniving, did so with the blessing of her husband. And chapter 28 opens with Isaac calling Jacob to himself, giving him a blessing, and sending him back to his kinfolk. And with the inspiration there to find a wife. And Jacob leaves, and he travels for a day, and then in verse 10 and following, the Bible tells us that as he traveled toward Haran, that he lighted upon a certain place. He came to a certain place. It seems as though he was traveling by himself, and it was nighttime. And there was no Red Roof Inn there or Motel 6. And so for lack of better, it says he gathered the stones of that place together for his pillows and his bed, and there he lay him down to sleep. And that night he dreamed a dream, and he saw this ladder that ascended to heaven, and the angels of God were upon that ladder, ascending and descending on it. And on the top of that ladder he saw the Lord. And exactly how that was, I don't know, but the Lord spoke to him and introduced himself and told gave Jacob a blessing there, and promised to be with him and keep him in his ways as he travels on. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep, and the dream was vivid in his mind. And as he pondered that, he said this way, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And it says there that he took the stones of that place and made a pillar. And there he offered a sacrifice, and he called the name of that place Bethel. Now, I found verse 17 interesting, where he says, "How dreadful is this place?" The New King James Version uses the word "awesome." I like that. Awesome, I think, is perhaps easier to relate to than the word "dreadful." Now, in a day when cell phones are awesome and Nike shoes are awesome and ink pens can be awesome and snowboards are awesome, I tell you this morning, there is one who is awesome. I think the others are a violation of that term. And as Jacob recognized what had happened there, he said, "How awesome is this place?" Now, I ask you, what changed? What changed? In verse 10, he just lighted upon a certain place. And he was tired, and he lay himself down to sleep on the stones of that place. But a few hours later, Jacob was trembling. And Jacob was struck with the presence of God that was there. And he said, "How awesome is this place?" And I submit to you this morning that your classroom, our schools, can be just that way. On the one hand, they may just be a certain place, a common place, a place of stones, a place of ground, a place where there is walls and sheetrock and paint and lights and desks and so on. Or it can be where the presence of God is a reality. And I ask you, what made that difference here? I believe this morning that the highest level of school spirit is a proper response to the presence of God. Now I take you to Joshua chapter 5. And there, the children of Israel were encamped by the shores of the Jordan River. And the promised land lay just before them. Joshua was not sure how to proceed further, and so he himself decides to go spy out the countryside, and he did so. He crossed. The men were, the children of Israel were still on the east side, Jordan, and he crosses and heads into the general area of Jericho. And verse 13 tells us that as Joshua was there, again, it seems very common. He was walking, he was looking, he was doing the routine and mundane. He was just, he certainly had a purpose, I'm sure, in that he was, as it were, he was spying out the land. And yet he was doing just the normal thing. He was, you know, just walking along, looking, considering, planning, thinking, all of the above, and suddenly something happens. There he is. There's a man there, sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua stops. And I can just see Joshua reaching for his own. Who is he meeting here? And Joshua goes to him, toward him, and he asks him this question, art thou for us or against us? And I invite your attention to his response. He didn't say, I am for you or against you. He said, nay, nay. And as we approach situations, we frequently would ask the same question. Are you for us or against us? Are you with us or not? And but this man said, nay, neither one. I'm not for you or against you. I'm God. I'm the Lord. And as he recognized that, he said, as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And as that truth sank upon Joshua, the Bible tells us that he fell with his face to the earth and did worship. And the captain of the Lord's host said, take off your shoes, for the ground whereon you stand is holy ground. And again I ask you, what happened? What changed? Here was a man who was just walking. Walking, looking, considering, thinking, planning, all the other things that school boards do. And suddenly he was prostrate. He was struck with that which was upon him to do. And he recognized that the very ground upon which he was walking was holy ground. What happened? I believe the highest level of school spirit is a proper response to the presence of God. Our third example. 1981 had not been an easy year for Faith Mission Home. Powers that be had promulgated a huge volume that was entitled Core Standards for the Operation of Facilities licensed by the Department of Correction, the Department of Education, the Department of Social Services, and the Department of Mental Health and Mental Retardation. They delivered that volume to us and said, these are the standards by which Faith Mission Home must operate. I don't know if you caught the impact of those four departments, but we were to come under the same guidelines as the local jail, as the local department of Region 10 Services of Charlottesville, the Department of Social Services, all public schools within the state of Virginia. That was umbrellaed under the Department of Education, That's those same guidelines that our schools would be were we licensed by the state and then the Department of Mental Health and Mental Retardation, that Faith Mission Home at that point was licensed by. Much that was in that book was okay. There were fire safety, there was health issues, there were cleanliness factors. You know, you were supposed to have paper towels by the sinks, and this thing was down to details. There was even issues of how many flies could be in the kitchen and so on. I mean, this thing was detailed. And much of what was there was okay. But a lot of it was stifling to the work at Faith Mission Home. It was seriously that. For example, there were mountains of paperwork that the state somehow thought would improve the work there if they could come and shuffle through. They wanted to see lots of papers. We didn't do so well with paperwork. We didn't even have computers. I think we had at that time perhaps our first Apple IIe with a 5.5-inch disk with no internal memory, and we thought we were on technology superhighway, you know. But anyway, we didn't have those things. And as they were looking at as we considered the paperwork that they were expecting, we said, we don't know if we can do that. We'd have to hire more staff and take the focus off of taking care of the children to satisfying the paperwork needs. But perhaps it could be done. But then there were a lot of things that were well nigh impossible for us. For example, the staff needed 4 years of college education. Now, it's possible for staff to get 4 years of college education. The typical staff that come to Faith Mission Home don't have that. And more than that, it's pretty tough to find 40 young people from our churches that do. Pretty tough hurdle, that one. And then there was a lot in that book that simply ran cross-grain to all that we believe. There were philosophies, there was mentality, there were things in there that conflicted with the principles of the Word of God, things that we hold as conviction. And we said we can't go there. And so there was trouble, there was pressure. And at that point we were licensed, and we had to be licensed. It was a non-optional whether or not we wanted to be licensed. We had been licensed for 10 years at that point, and it wasn't just a matter of not signing the license. It was a matter you must. And so the pressure was on. And in the midst of that pressure, in the midst of that environment where the state was continuing to tighten the clamps down, there was a man who said, I must see what this fuss is all about. And he came out to see. He was from the Department of Mental Health and Mental Retardation from Richmond. And he came out solo, which was kind of unusual. Oftentimes they came in teams to come out to see what was happening. But Don came out to see what was going on. I was in the training office at the time, and Dan Yoder was administrator. I had the privilege of meeting Don and taking him to Dan's office, and he wanted to meet with us and talk. And as he did so, he had questions, many questions, and very pointed questions. And he wanted to know my educational level. 9th grade. That doesn't work well. Dan, how about you? 6 years of college? No, just 8th grade. And how about the staff? And he asked many questions in that way. And finally he said, I want to see this place. I want to see everything. And show me around. By now it was into the afternoon, and I was glad to be able to, I was going to go back to my office and get to work when Dan said, Nathan, you give him the tour. Okay, here goes. So Don and I took a walk, and we meandered back toward Girls' End, and there were children in the hallways, and some of them met him and greeted him and waved, and some were talking and some were singing. There was children playing games. We went on back. We stopped in at classroom B, and there was a teacher that was helping a child put puzzle together. And they were obviously having a good time. The child was struggling with getting the pieces in the right place, and we went on over into another classroom. And there the children, the higher level children, were actually reading, some of them. Some, you know, we had 20-year-olds, first grade level, second grade level. But they were learning, and they were reading. And he stood there, and he watched that. And then we went the other direction. In the building, we went back toward Boys End. We stopped at the craft room, and there was a group, and a child care worker was there with four children, and the children were stringing beads, and they were kind of all talking at once and just having a good time around the table there. Teacher and a staff member were chit-chatting and so on, and we kind of just stood off to the side and watched. And then on back to the boys and so on. And now it was getting on towards supper time, and the children lined up in the hallway, and there was anticipation, and they were excited. Food was just around the corner, a few minutes till 5 o'clock, and it was time for Don to be back at his office. But he was intrigued, and he stood there and he watched that, and finally the bell rang, the children filed into the dining room, found their places, and sat around the table. And then there was a ding, and all was quiet. And by this time, we were standing in the doorway watching, and heads bowed, and one of the children asked the blessing on the evening meal, and had a simple prayer, and then immediately, lots of noise again, lots of talking and laughter, and food was being passed, and the children some were able to help themselves, and the staff were helping the others. He stood there and he watched. This man was speechless. And finally he said, "This is perhaps the most normalizing thing that is happening here." He said, I've never seen anything like it." And then the tour was done, and we headed back to Dan's office again. And I'll never forget, I don't think, what happened next. This man came in, and he was obviously frustrated. He came in, and he sat down on the chair, and he slumped down, and he adjusted his tie, and pulled it loose, and opened his top button. He said, "I can see this place is ticking, but I can't figure out what makes it tick." Those were his words. My question is your school ticking? I believe the highest level of school spirit is a proper response to the presence of God. This morning, we sang, "Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one." What really is school spirit? I didn't attend a Christian school in my school days. I was in a community in Minnesota that didn't have that, and they do now. But I went to public school, and so I learned what school spirit was about in a public school environment. And I found it just a little hard as I pondered back over, to pull up some of those things. But I believe that in a public school environment, school spirit may be related to something like patriotism. The feeling that a patriotic person feels when they perhaps see a flag or at an election or inauguration. It's closely connected with the idea of culture, the way we do things here. It might be described as the prevailing attitude that is evident within a school or church or home or any given setting for that matter. School spirit was an important thing in public school. An effort was made to to have a good school spirit. How was that all done? Well, there were things like we had school spirit days. We had pep rallies. There were you could go to the office and buy pencils and pens that said Grove City Public School or Grove City High School on these things. There were students who wore certain kinds of jewelry or even makeup to identify with the school. The school colors were gold and black. And in the gym, the mats that hung on the wall underneath the basketball hoops were in that color by design. The t-shirts that they wore when they played basketball and football and so on had specific colors. It wasn't just random. They were by design a certain color. It was to foster school spirit. There were lots of activities that surrounded that. Cheerleaders were a central part of that. And whenever there was an athletic activity or preparation for that, that's all I saw. I never went to a football game or spring dance or whatever all went on there. But during the school day, there were efforts made at generating school spirit. And there were times that before an important game in late afternoon, we had a pep rally. And we'd gather in the gym, sit on the bleachers, and there were various things that were done. The cheerleaders got their exercise, and there was a lot of chanting and hollering and whistling and carrying on to generate school spirit, to get us motivated. And I thought, you know, this morning here we sit here like this. Should we do something like that? Should we do some jumping jacks? Should we chant something in unison to see if we can whip up some emotion and generate some school spirit here? Wouldn't that be something? What is meant by school spirit? I believe that, well, I of course was looking for that as I entered here this morning. What do we feel when we feel school spirit? What is meant by that? I believe that the prevailing attitude within an institution, school or church or whatever it may be, home, is a composite of the people that are there. It's not in the building itself, although decor, environment is important. I'm glad this morning the walls are not purple and with pink polka dots on it or whatever it may be. It would be depressing if everything in here was black, I suppose, or bright red. You know, we talk about warm and cold colors, and indeed those things have an impact, and it would be valuable, I suppose, at some point to have a topic on the impact of the environment on a classroom. And it is important. I'm not minimizing that at all. I've come into classrooms where it was just a joy to be there and to behold the bulletin boards and the color and the decor, and the environment was conducive to learning, put it that way. But that environment is still dead. It's still dead. It's still just paper and cardboard and sheetrock and ink and that kind of thing. I hope this isn't taking it too far, but it reminds me just a little bit of a corpse. We can take a corpse and dress it ever so nicely and, you know, put the glasses on, the makeup, and the right clothes, and I suppose we could even warm that body to 98.6. But there's no life there. No life. Just a shell. It's just a body. Until the spirit is there. And the spirit comes when people come. And the temperature, the spirit of that school, is a corporate composite of the people in that school. And there's many things, and I say people in that school. It includes, of course, children and staff. But primarily this morning I'm thinking of the staff. There's many things that impact the staff. 10 days ago, Wednesday, a week ago, after school, a mother came to our school and picked up her three children, one of which is in each of our three youngest classrooms. She went home and picked up a few items of clothing and left. And her husband heard from her that night via a very brief phone call, and as far as I know, no word has been heard since then. It's 10 days. Does that have an impact on the staff and on the people? It does. There's many things that do that. What is meant by a healthy school spirit? I've tried to identify school spirit. Did you know it's possible to have a sick school spirit? I think it's possible for the spirit to be dead. As I thought of a sick school spirit, thought of the illustration in 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." I wondered if in our schools there are weak and sickly spirits. Now, we'll only take a few moments here, but the causes that many were weak and sickly, if we look at the setting in the book of 1 Corinthians, I think some of the primary things that caused a weak and a sickly spirit there were things like individualism, pride. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. There was divisiveness, there was pride, there was my way is better than your way, and that kind of spirit. And where that spirit is present in our schools, there is weakness and there is sickliness that will be there. Not a healthy school spirit at all. The 1 Corinthians 12 says that they had a lack of care one for another. There were schisms in the body. And where that is present, the spirit is sick. There was envying, there was strife, there was carnality, there was immorality, there was use of law and force, there was an abuse of the headship order, and the list goes on. Let's consider number three, the value of a healthy school spirit. The value of a healthy school spirit. I think it's very valuable. I think it's worth working for. The value, or a healthy school spirit, unifies the various, we could call them strata, I suppose. The difference between the young children and the old children. Where there's a healthy school spirit, there's a working together of different ages. There's a working together of different genders. There's a communication of life between children and teacher, children to teacher and teacher to children, and so on. It's very valuable. I believe that a healthy school spirit helps eliminate the cat and mouse game, where children feel like what they can get by with is fun, is exciting, what they can do behind the teacher's back. The policeman mentality, to see what I can get away with. A healthy school spirit develops within a child a want-to attitude, where there's a desire to please, a desire to work, a desire to do what is right. I recommend to you this morning that a healthy school spirit is worth striving for. Now, I was assigned the subject of indicators of a healthy school spirit. Not how to make it, how to fix it, I'll leave that to you. But I'd like to point out a few indicators of a healthy school spirit. I have identified seven of them. I believe one indicator of a healthy school spirit is song. Song. Where there's a healthy school spirit, children sing. Staff sing. There is music that erupts from a healthy school spirit. Now, my inclination is, I find it tough to stay just with the indicators. And so I'm going to give a few recommendations as well. But where this indicator is not there, I'd like to encourage you to make it, to work on that. You know how indicators are in a vehicle. This morning when I went out and turned the key on my van, there were all kinds of indicator lights. You know, there's a seatbelt light, a check engine light, there's even a high beam light and a host of others that blink on. And then as soon as the engine starts, The oil pressure light goes off, and as soon as the seatbelt light is buckled, or as soon as the seatbelt is buckled, that light goes off, and so on. Those indicator lights, they disappear because it's okay. The situation, the warning situation is no longer there. I was going to leave this for a closing comment, but I'd like to just encourage us now to think of these as indicator light. And in your school, is there a song light that stays on throughout the day? Or when you crank up, the light comes on, but it's not long into the day until that need is met. That light goes off. There's an indicator there that there's a need, but the need is met. Light isn't there anymore. There's song. All is well. Yesterday, we got 200 chickens. A man brought them in coops from Westdale Hatchery, and we took these coops one by one into their chicken house that was ready for them, and we opened them up. And the chickens dashed out and ran here and flew there, and even though we were kind with them, they scattered one coop after the other until they were all there. And then gradually, and there was no song, there was just worried glances between the chickens, but as they relaxed, and we put feed in the feeders and made sure there was fresh water in the waters, all of a sudden you heard one chirp here and one chirp there, and they came over and began partaking of the food and checking out where the water was. And as they became used to us and were at peace with their world, guess what happened? They started to sing. I think our children will too. There's another, the second indicator that I'd like to consider is ready board involvement. I believe an indicator, that indicator light comes on our dash when school starts. Board involvement. And I'd like to ask the board this morning, how long is it until that light goes off? How long does the school run until it does? Ready board involvement. There's many aspects of the day today that are going to address that indicator light. I have seen schools and boards where there's been lots of board involvement, ready board involvement. The teachers did not need to hound the board for directives. Rather, the board was there giving directives to the school. I've seen it both ways. Is there ready board involvement in your school? The next indicator of a healthy school spirit is respect. And I'm sure this list will not be exhaustive. These are just things that came to my mind as I thought back to my own teaching experience in school. Respect. How long is it until the respect indicator light goes off? The need is met. It's obvious that there is respect between teacher and students, between students and teacher. Between students, I believe this is an indicator of a healthy school spirit. You can sense that as you stand in the foyer or waiting for chapel time and the children are coming to school. And they come in and you see one child hold a door for another one as they enter and that kind of thing, or do they just let the door plop in their face? You can see it throughout the day. And this is something, if it's not there, it can be taught. It can be built. And I want to emphasize that. A healthy school spirit, if you go back and there's indicator lights that are on your dashboard, something can be done about it. There's mechanics around. And and this is another option. And I've actually seen this done. You can go to the CVS or Kroger's and somewhere and you can buy little round smiley stickers. I have sat into driver's seats on cars where there's been little smiley stickers on the dash. And there's a reason for that. That way, that light doesn't bug you every mile of the way. You can start your car. Check engine light is not a threat. You can go your way. And there's some of us do that in school. We know the respect's not there. And so we get a smiley sticker and we pop it right across that light bulb. And every time we look at that, there's that smiley sticker. Forget about the check engine light behind it. Respect. It's an indicator of a healthy school spirit. The fourth one is boys aspiring to manliness, and our girls aspiring to godly feminine character. I wasn't sure how to word that. I almost had feminism, but I said, that's not right. I don't want feminism. And they leave the ism off. But godly feminine character. And I believe there's a real need for that. Where you see young men who love to be boys, who love to be young men, and girls who want to be grown up, who want to be moms, who want to be servants of the Lord, that's an indicator of a healthy school spirit. Where there is false, where there is idolatry, where there are the wrong heroes that are on students' desks, sports heroes or so on, boys are aspiring to things other than godly character. It's an indicator light. The light is on. What do we do about it? Let's go on to the next one. I believe that kindness is an indicator of a healthy school spirit. Kindnesses. Kindness is such a necessary ingredient. Children, by nature, many children are not kind. And we don't have time to go far into this, but children, there's some that seem more given to it than others. But just in general, children are selfish. They tend to be self-centered. They can be rude. I've seen children be literally cruel, especially to the underprivileged or the one that is not achieving as well. Unkind remarks, cold shoulders, glances, and the list just goes on. Not wanting that person on our team. And sometimes it's not just thought. It's verbalized. It's shown. I wish you weren't here. I wish you'd be on the other team. Things that cut and hurt and discourage and so on. Indicators of trouble. Kindness is an indicator of a healthy school spirit. It needs to be built. How long is it until that light on our dash goes off? The need is met. There's another one. Anticipation. Anticipation. Do your children hate school? I still am puzzled by where the popularity comes from that it's popular or okay or smart to hate school. I confess that I didn't when I went to school. I enjoyed school. I enjoyed learning, enjoyed reading, enjoyed socializing. In spite of the negatives that were in that public school, I enjoyed school. And I've had the opportunity to be in classrooms where I have felt the anticipation of those that attended. And it's a blessing. Oh, I know. That report is work. That assignment was a pain and that kind of thing. And sometimes students drop comments of that nature. I suppose life's like that. But I've also seen it where there is true anticipation for learning, where students enjoy coming to school. How is that built? I think a lot of it is a spin-off of the staff. Are the staff there because they want to? Is there that anticipation there? Is there that desire? Is it hardly wait till 8:30 to ring that bell and let's get on with school and life? I believe the attitude of the staff is critical in this matter. Is that anticipation there? I believe it's contagious. Enthusiasm is a contagious issue. Luke 3:15 talks about John the Baptist coming and preaching, and it tells us that the people were in suspense. They were in expectation. They wondered what was going on out there by the Jordan River. I submit to us that if we can do that in school, let our children come to see what you're up to next. That will have a tremendous impact on what really transpires there. A healthy school spirit. Anticipation is a factor of that. And the seventh one that I'd like to consider, is the factor of rest. Rest. There is peace. There is a relaxedness. Students aren't worried. They're not afraid of you. They're not worried about what he's going to come up with next. But there's a rest. Come unto me, all yet labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. There's peace. I don't know how many of you are sheep farmers. I don't have much experience with that. I was a dairyman in my youth. But as you watch the herd, there were indicators that indicated whether or not things were well. If the animals are at rest, they're well fed, they're taken care of, they're not worried about predators, they're at rest. It is there that growth takes place. It is there that milk production is at its peak, where there is rest. And I believe it is the same way in the school. I'm not talking about the student whose head is on his desk and it's obvious that he's watching ladders somewhere. He's asleep. No, not that kind of rest, but where they're at peace with their world and with you. Indicators. There's many more that we could look at. I thought of a summary of all of these, perhaps would be the fruit of the Spirit, where an indicator of a healthy school spirit is where there is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. These are indicators of a healthy school spirit. The highest level of school spirit, I believe, is a proper response to the presence of the Lord. God bless you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.